Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Sports. From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie. WMVP Chicago.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, it's a football Friday. You've made it to your weekend. Mark Jean Greco in a half hour from right now will talk some Bears offense, give you the update on the injury report, which wasn't great. I'll tell you this now, that Allen Robinson was downgraded today, originally listed as questionable. He is now listed as doubtful. Cody Whitehair will not play. He is out. So a lot to discuss today. Kyle Long has been a big friend to this radio show. The last time we saw Kyle was actually at the Super Bowl. That was before the blank storm hit.
Yeah, that's been a long time.
Those were good times back then.
Yeah, it was.
Kyle was just entering into retirement.
Yeah.
And he had lost a bunch of weight. And it will be great to catch up with him right now on the Corona Hotline. What's up, Kyle?
What's up, boys? Good to hear your voices. It seems like an eternity ago, we were on Radio Row and hanging out down there in Miami. What a time that was. And, you know, here we are now today. The Bears are 5-2. The NFL is rolling along, and we're all still employed, so that's good.
Give us a rundown of exactly what you're doing right now, where people can hear you and see you, because I know you've become a multimedia star.
Well, I've kind of spread myself thin this year. Sunday mornings, obviously I love what I do on Sunday mornings with CBS. I'm on that other pregame show. It's called Top. Starts every 8 a.m. Eastern on CBS Sports. And, yeah, we have a great time doing that. And then Monday and Wednesday I do an Amazon show for Twitch, with one of which is Andrew Hawkins is my co-host, and the other is Chad Ochocinco. You may have heard of him, and he is quite an interesting pairing for me on Wednesday. It's a good time. Then I do the NASCAR show that released about 30 minutes ago.
Nice. Are you happy?
Yeah, I'm happy. I still find myself bored, looking for some purpose. But in terms of work, I have spread myself thin, and I'm staying busy in that department. Looking for some things to do, though.
Well, I heard the most recent interview, I think, that you did, that you said you're up over 300 pounds, and it sounded like 2021 may include a return trip to the NFL for you if everything falls right. Is that accurate?
Well, you know, the options are out there still. I'm still relatively young, although I've been bald since 22, and I look like I'm 50. But don't forget, I'm 31. And, you know, most guys, when they're done with one team, they move immediately on to another team. I just kind of stepped away, and I didn't want to make any decisions until I've taken proper breaths and taken counsel with the right folks in my corner. And yeah, it's been good to have time away from the game, and I still don't know if I want to go back and play, but I still could. And like you alluded to, I'm up over 300, yeah.
I was going to say, Kyle, when I heard it, I was a little surprised, not because I wouldn't think you'd have a desire to play, but the Dan Pompey article that he wrote about all of the injuries that you went through, it sounded like it was almost you had gotten to physically a point of no return. So physically, everything's healed, and you feel good right now.
Yeah, I feel really good. I do feel good. I don't feel as good as I did my rookie year. There's still things that go crack or bump in the night, and I kind of go, oh, shit. But other than that, you know, the body feels good. I enjoy lifting. I can run. Like, I enjoy going for runs. That's something I never did when I played.
Right.
Waddle, I don't know if you were a big runner during your career.
Nope.
But now
I run from people, Kyle.
I'm looking for stuff to do, and running has become one of them, and I enjoy it. I enjoy it, but I'm not a distance guy. I'm not a 65% runner. I like to either not run at all or run really fast for a short amount of time and go hit somebody.
I was going to say, like, what kind of runs are you going on? You're sprinting on a track? What do you mean that you're going for runs?
Well, I live a mile down a gravel road in the middle of nowhere in Virginia, and you could literally walk out the front door or the back door for that matter. We've got fields all in the back. There's carved out running trails. And then in the front, you can just run down the road, go get the mail, go do something.
You're like Forrest Gump.
Yeah, he is.
running around the mailbox.
Hey, a lot of people not named Forrest Gump who lived in the country, buddy.
That's true. Hey, what is Howie saying about you getting back in and playing?
You know, he's the only person in my immediate family who really is supportive of that. My brothers are like, you're nuts. If you go back, you're going to get hurt again. You're old. Like, there's a reason. Like, take a hint, Kyle. Red flag. You ever heard of him? And my dad's like, yeah, man. I mean, if you want to go do it, no half-stepping, big guy. You know what that means. And then he does, like, the I'm stepping away from the conversation with his hands thing. I'm like, you already said what you said, dude.
I bet Howie would play again today if he could, wouldn't he?
He's a sick you-know-what, and I'm sure he would.
Yeah.
Kyle Long joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. We used to ask this to Cuddy. This is the true test. Did you file your papers? Did you file retirement papers?
Okay, this is funny because somebody asked me about this yesterday. And I was like, what are retirement papers? Like, I thought the contract was the paper that indicated your status as being employed. I didn't know there was another set of papers. Like, do I have to get another drawer for a couple of manila folders?
So the answer is no.
I have not filed my retirement papers. I don't even know they exist.
Yeah. By the way, Sylvie mentioned Cuddy. Have you talked to him recently?
Oh, gosh. Cuddy's tough to keep up with, man. Yeah. I keep up with him through text messages. I've given up just blowing him up on FaceTime. So I just text him and I give him some space.
Yeah.
And he's a wild cowboy. So you got to give him that space and you got to let him just roam free.
It's crazy.
All right, Kyle, be the football analyst for us right now. When you see this Bears offense, tell us why, in the simplest terms possible, why isn't the running game working as well as we all want it to work?
I think right now there's obviously some schematic things that have people scratching their heads. Play calling has people scratching their heads. But I got to say, when you deal with injury, particularly on the offensive line, on the interior part of the offensive line, you see it, and it manifests itself in the running game, and it manifests itself in the passing game. Charles and Bobby are playing with guys they haven't played with before. There's been injuries to Cody, James Daniels being out. This is all a perfect storm for, oh, gosh, it's probably going to get worse before it gets better.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the schedule here. You look at the schedule the next few weeks, and if they don't dial it up and figure out how to run the dang ball here soon, you could be looking at that kind of stagnant-looking picture on repeat here for a little bit.
Yeah.
Kyle, is it that they can't run the ball because it's not there because of the offensive line, or is it they can't run the ball because they refuse to run the ball?
Well, they've tried to run the ball. You know, they have tried to run the ball, and the thing about running it is you have to have faith in it, and you have to keep going back to the well. Even when it looks bad, if you're not getting wood off the tree with your old rusted axe, you got to just swing it again, because that's the nature of running the game. You wear these teams down, and then you chew them up with the play-action pass. I want to talk about how good some of these young players look, though, and the job that we've seen Pace done late in drafts. Mooney, I've been really impressed with.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that could have had 100 more yards in the Rams game had some of these balls been on target, or had he had time to throw these balls. But it starts with the offensive line and the health. I mean, you look at Drew Brees, you look at Jarry Evans, Carl Nix, his two guards in New Orleans forever, and there's a reason that offensive line went. I mean, they ran tremendous amount of mid-zone. They always hit the backside, cut off on the backside linebacker with Carl Nix and Jarry Evans. These were staples in their offense. We don't have that staple in our offense. That's what's tough.
I think you told us a while ago that, listen, quite frankly, when you get down to the nuts and bolts of this, a lot of teams ignore the offensive line with their top picks. And to really have an offensive line that clicks, and you look around the league, whether it's the Tennessee Titans or it's the Kansas City Chiefs or whoever it is, the teams that do run the football well are teams that have former first-round picks on that offensive line.
Yeah, and I remember when Eric Fisher, the number one pick overall the year I came out, he got drafted by the Chiefs, and people were kind of looking at him like he was a bust because they didn't see this all-pro blossoming before their very eyes in the same light that we saw Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, the way that we saw these early picks lighted up. We didn't have that from Eric Fisher, and now you see him being a staple in that offense. He's able to get outside the hashes, make blocks on smaller defenders. He can root out defensive tackles on double teams on the backside. He's got great balance, and you know what? He does enough to get it done at a good level in the pass pro. And that's one position you don't have to worry about. The more guys you can have on the field where you say, we don't have to worry about him.
Right.
Because we know whoever lines up against him, it could be a long game for him.
Kyle Long joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. You mentioned Mooney. 2 years ago, we thought that Anthony Miller was going to be a stud. Are you surprised that he hasn't blossomed?
It's tough to put a finger on what has been the reason for that. But I still think there's a lot of time. I'm not writing Anthony Miller off. I'm really not. I've seen him do some really freaky things. And obviously I saw the same Anthony Miller that you guys saw.
Right.
Maybe I took the bait too early and he just overproduced at a young age, but I think, he's a good football player and he's somebody that can help out an offense.
Do you now feel our pain too? Kyle used to sit with us and in person when you used to do the show with us, and we would all be all bothered about this or about that because we were invested in our team, and you're like, we got this, don't worry, you guys are overreacting. Now you're watching it from the fan vantage point. Do you now understand and feel our pain?
Well, I would say my job awareness was at 100% back then, and as I went through my career, I think I lost 10% a year. And now I'm just under the 50% give a you-know-what margin. And I can, in terms of what people think about what I'm saying. When I played, I was really aware of, you know, I didn't want to say anything negative about the team. But it's like, yeah, I mean, our offense right now looks tough. And I feel the pain that you guys are going through. And I have to talk about it on Sunday. So I'm seeing what you guys go through in that regard. I respect the prep work that you guys do. It's a big part of this, and it's been tough keeping up with all this football action. I don't know how the hell you guys do it.
Kyle, what do you think of the quarterback situation? Did it play out the way that you thought it would? And
no.
Do you expect things to get better with Nick as time goes on?
I was really frustrated with how it handled. It's not often what a coach does that people remember. It's how a coach does it that leaves a taste in people's mouth. And I didn't like the way that it was handled with Trubisky being pulled, Foles being put in. I have no problem with him putting Foles in. It's his team. He can do whatever the hell he wants. But if you're going to drag a kid through training camp, through the first few games, get a couple wins, and then pull him out at first sign of, oh, gosh, it just didn't look good. And I know that Nagy's a big locker room guy, and you know, he prides himself on the locker room really liking him. I know if I'm in that locker room, it plays out the way, and I'm not, but if I am in that locker room, I'm scratching my head a little bit saying that could be me next. You know, that situation could be me. And I saw the way that was handled. it puts a strain, I feel like, on that end of things.
What about devil's advocate? That you've seen Mitch for over 3 years, and then he had the bad game against Atlanta. The guy came in, Nick Foles, and wins. I mean, wouldn't, if he didn't stick with that hot hand at that time, wouldn't you be rolling your eyes if you're a player in the locker room then?
You can handle it when you get on the plane. You can handle it. You can make that decision. You can handle it at Halas Hall. There are certain ways to go about doing that. Yes, the Bears won, but a lot of teams have come back from exponential, scores to beat the Falcons. I mean, if we want to crown them, crown their ass, I guess. He said that. I'm really happy for Nick Foles. My brother loves Nick Foles. But Mitch is my guy. You know, I like Mitch. So I'm still trying to see. It's interesting to see where Mitch fits into the big picture. If he ends up somewhere else, is he going to be a player somewhere, or is he going to end up being a backup? I think he can play in this league, and in the right fit, in the right scheme, with the right offensive line. It's a lot to ask for, but, you know, I think the guy can flourish in the league.
Kyle, do you think the way it was, as you described how it was handled, it just, with the benefit of hindsight, it just looked like Matt was looking to make this decision, Nagy was looking to make this decision, and he was just waiting for the moment to do it, and with the benefit of hindsight, he should have, if that's the way he felt, he should have started the season with Foles instead.
Yes. If you invest the money in somebody, like, just make the move, rip the Band-Aid off.
Right.
Rip the Band-Aid off, give us some direction, and now we're not sitting there saying, well, we've got all these plays drawn up for 10, we know he's a mobile guy, so this kind of escapist theme is built into a lot of the scheme that you put Foles back there. The starting O-line doesn't really have a sense of where he's going to be in the pocket, what his timing is, that kind of thing. If you want to make this kind of move, you make it before the season.
Right.
And they made the move fiscally. They made the move in theory, but they didn't pull the trigger on it until Atlanta.
How much different is it for an offensive lineman like you were describing with Mitch under center, and they changed things up the first couple of games versus now a guy who is going to be – to the layman, explain how the running game is different, if you can, running most of, or a lot of your runs out of shotgun versus with a quarterback under center.
Quarterback under center, the linebackers tend to react more downhill. Offensive line, we say, keep your eyes up for run through. You see a lot of these guys run through. When you have the quarterback in the gun, where you see a lot of that RPO action in the inside zone, then you have the linebackers, they kind of work on a string laterally. As the play action goes across the quarterback's belly, the linebackers can kind of dance laterally on a string. They have to respect the lateral game. But when it's a downhill play, when your quarterback's under center, these guys can read and react. And you got to have really good, you got to have a good O-line. If you want to go under center, you want to pound it every time, you got to have a good O-line. I look to the Cowboys. They ran power with no pullers better than anyone mm-hmm. for the last 5-6 years because of the guys they had in the interior offensive line.
Before we let you go, do you believe the Bears are going to make the playoffs?
I think the Bears will make the playoffs. I do. But I think it's going to be very telling to see how this offense performs against some of these defenses coming up and down the stretch because, we've seen how the injuries are thus far, but we know it only gets worse. Today's the best you're ever going to feel. That's what Roberto Garza used to always tell me. So 5-2, we got to feel good. We got to enjoy the fact that we're 5-2. I mean, I can't remember when I was 5-2 on the Bears. I don't think maybe ever.
If I took Kyle, final, if I take one of my kids, I've only got one left that's not in college or hasn't gone through college, but if I take her college fund and I bet on you being in the NFL next year or not being in the NFL next year, where should I put my money?
Vegas.
You're going to play for the Raiders? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying you should put your money in Vegas. Oh, wow. Yeah, don't run with that. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll have to
you
talk.
You know.
I'm going to put it on you playing. How about that?
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
I miss football, and I really enjoy kind of having a chip on my shoulder for the first time in a while because, I mean, I read everything on social media because who the hell doesn't?
Right.
And it turns me into a psychopath a little bit. And, you know, maybe we got to harness the psychopath and use it to our advantage.
Get out there and maul somebody.
Yeah.
You know, guys, I miss you. I miss being at Soldier Field. And I wish it was open so I'd come have a beer and watch the Bears. But I'll be thinking about you guys, praying for y'all. Happy to hear y'all's voices, and look forward to talking soon.
Great talking to you,
always fun catching up, Kyle. Thanks, buddy.
All right, boys.
There he is, Kyle Long, former Bear. He's playing. 312-332-3776. Matt Nagy was asked again about giving up play calling duties. You'll hear that next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Our two main topics today, Bears and Saints, and leftover Tony La Russa thoughts. And, you know, those thoughts are going to be with us all offseason here, and it's going to be a hot topic into the baseball season. If you want to get in, 332-3776. We'll take your calls with Mark Gene Greco. We hit all the injury stuff, right? Mac is listed as questionable.
Yes, I believe he'll play, but he'll probably, you know, take a few more plays off, and I don't mean like Cadillac it. I mean be on the sideline at times, and so they can save him for pass rush situations.
He was limited today and is listed as questionable. Cody Whitehair is not playing. Allen Robinson is listed as doubtful now.
You know what? This is a perfect spot, opportunity, for a guy that I was thrilled that they signed in the offseason to step in and maybe take some pressure off of Khalil Mack, and that's Robert Quinn.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, like, I thought it was a fantastic signing. I get it. He's at 30. It's $30 million guaranteed. He was fantastic last year. I've seen him get to some quarterbacks but not get them down this year. He has not been as productive as I thought he would be early. I know he was dealing with an early season injury. But now's the time. Now's the time you'd like to see Robert Quinn go out there and remind everybody why he was given that cash in free agency.
Yeah, we'll see what the win does to their game plan, too. They love Kamara to begin with. And with him and Murray, that they may just go in with a real short passing game with no Michael Thomas and let their two backs just work. Here's Matt Nagy. Has he given any more thought to giving up play-calling duties?
No, you know, like I was saying, this is something where we look into everything and we feel very confident with the players we have, with the plays that we're calling, and we realize there's a lot more to it than just that. So, like what I said the other day was real. You know, we always look at everything. We evaluate it all, but no.
It's funny because I was just thinking of that phrase that Abdallah used. Nagy went to his other Nagys, and they said, no, Nagy, don't give up the play-calling duty. Like, it's just him looking at a bunch of guys now that he brought over. We're all his guys, and they're like, nope, not you, not you.
Maybe, Adam, maybe you could get a offensive coordinator coup going where they could actually take the play calling duties over in a coup.
Well, that's
coup.
Like if my theory is this, because eventually, like let's say they lose a few games.
Are you going to say now it's a rush to George McCaskey's office to see which guy can...
Oh, yeah, we're definitely in cover-your-ass mode. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding? Pace and Nagy are running a race?
That's the first thing you do when you know you screwed up. You cover your ass.
Yeah, like, I mean...
You cover your ass, dude.
At what point do you start to set up an early morning meeting with the owner?
This is what you do if you're Ryan Pace. You set up the early morning meeting. You go, look, I got five offensive coordinators sitting right next to him. Well, I got a head coach who's coaching the defense right there. Fire this dude, make him the head coach, and you got five other offensive coordinators. I just bought myself another few years.
9:05, Matt Nagy walks into George's office.
Oh no, Matt Nagy's key card won't work by then.
No, man, Nagy walks into the office and he says,
what did they give me to work with?
How am I supposed to start an offense when I've got no protection? I finally got my guy in there. He can't even go back without getting pressured. I got nothing up front. Nothing was built here. There's no wide receivers. I still don't have really a stud quarterback. And then Ryan Pace is running to McCaskey's office and saying, look, when I sat down with Matt Nagy, he told me he'd develop Mitch. He told me that he would be able to scheme guys open, that even if I did continue to draft mediocre players, he could make it work.
There are listen, I've said this for weeks now. I don't know what the record's going to be at the end of the season. But if the offensive improvement doesn't take place and we get to the end of the 2020 season, whether they're 9-7, they're 8-8, they're 10-6, whatever the case may be, if they're 27th or 28th in offense, if they're 27th or 28th in offense at the end of this season, I don't believe they'll be 10-6. I think they will do the unthinkable if they don't make some offensive improvement, and that's miss the postseason with either a 9-7 or an 8-8 record. And I know that sounds odd right now based on what they've gotten off to as the 5-2 start. But you tell me, if we continue to see an inept offense that ranks 27th to 28th, how many of these games are you going to win, even if you're playing the Vikings?
That's 4-5. Is 4-5 really unquestionable?
I'm not saying
4-5.
It's not unthinkable.
Right.
Yeah, that's my point, is that it's not this wild. I can paint you a picture where they improve some on offense and get to 10-6 and get to the postseason. I can also paint you a picture where they make no improvement on offense, and they find themselves at 27th or 28th in terms of their rankings, and they find themselves at the end of the year at 8-8 or 9-7 in the outside looking into the postseason. Regardless, if they find themselves at 8-8 or 9-7 and outside of the postseason, or even if they do squeak in and your offense stinks throughout, there are some really tough questions that are going to have to be asked and answered.
All right. Sit down, have a Miller Lite with us. Mark Gene Greco's in the First Midwest Bank studio.
Belch.
Let's load up the phone lines for him. Let's see if he's still angry about La Russa. Let's talk some Bears with him. 332-3776. Mark Gene Greco, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Mark Gene Greco is in the First Midwest Bank studio. He's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. I was talking to David Flom today. They still have over 50 heaters out there. Tomorrow's going to be a nice day.
I saw people eating lunch out there.
Yeah.
Today when I drove by, there were people, they had heaters out. Everyone looked fine.
He's got flamethrowers everywhere.
Yeah, he was telling me, too, the way the building is, it blocks that north wind.
How's David doing? I haven't talked to him in a while.
He's doing great.
Good.
Yeah, I saw him last week. He dropped food off.
Did he really? He brought
Chicago Cut to me.
Look at that.
Oh, yeah, you weren't here last Friday.
No.
How about John Lester? Isn't that great? He's thanking Cub fans by having them, go to 4 designated bars, albeit outdoors, and he's buying the first round of beers for all the Cub fans.
We talked to him today.
That's cool.
He sounded very optimistic. Waddle, we didn't talk about this. Didn't he sound optimistic that he would be back?
Yes. It sounded like to me that he had not written that off. Abdallah and I were talking about the money. There's a $10 million buyout and a $25 million option, right?
Yes.
So they could buy him out for 10. Give him 5, right, and that would be $15 million,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he did kind of dance around does he feel like he's kind of owed something for being there?
So I think he realizes his $25 million option is not being
picked up. He's not getting
up.
25, but he's he's getting at least 10.
But that's the thing. If you've got to pay him 10 to go away,
just give him 5
could
more.
Could you find
a happy medium? Yes.
Yeah, because this team might only be dealing with nostalgia this year.
It's like everybody's taking pay cuts.
That's universal.
Yeah.
So are you still hot about La Russa? Have you calmed down a little bit?
No, I'm going to remain hot. I mean, why should I calm down and just accept it? Like everything else. This world is upside down. This year is the worst of all time. You can't just accept it. You got to fight
it. Would you have liked Hinch?
Yes.
Okay.
I would have.
So you weren't hung up on the cheating thing?
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying. But did you see his Detroit news conference today?
I did not.
The first question, of course, was about cheating.
And what did
he
say? He's from what I've read or heard or whatever, he's done He's done some owning of it.
He's very accountable.
It's mea culpa wherever he goes, and he faced it head on, saying, it was wrong, I was wrong, I'm thankful for a second chance, and I'm going to prove to you that I can still win without doing that. So, you know, he was way up front with it, which you had to be in accepting a job like that. But, no, he was good. Yeah, he was the assumed guy from day one. He should have been the guy.
Yeah. Did you read Jeff Passan wrote today who Tony La Russa hired as his analytic guy in Arizona when he ran that front office?
Bueller.
He hired a veterinarian.
Yeah.
Well, because he's a dog lover.
Right, right.
Well, listen, you could find out what you do against lefties and also get your pet spayed or neutered.
Right.
I mean, you could.
Is that where the term southpaw came from?
I don't know.
That veterinarian?
Yeah.
God.
Let's take some calls. You want to take some calls? Talk to the people.
Yeah, let's take some calls.
Mike on the south side, you're on with Mark Gene Greco. What's up, Mikey?
How you doing, guys? I wanted to talk about the unfair criticism of David Montgomery. It's like, what more can you ask for? I'm looking at his advanced stats, and as a runner, he's 21. He has 21 missed tackles. That's top seven in the league. He has zero fumbles. He has 261 yards after contact, which is 14th in the league. I hear that it's like he's east-west, but like, what more can you ask for when there's nothing there? Even as a receiver, he has 25 receptions, which is seventh in the league, 184 yards after contact as a receiver, which is seventh in the league. He has zero drops, and as a pass catcher, he has 10 avoided missed tackles, which is third in the league. I mean, even last year, guys with better stats than that were CMC, Joe Mixon, and Saquon, and look where their team's drafted in this past draft.
Mike, you haven't heard any of the complaining of David Montgomery from our show.
I was just going to say, you sounded just like Waddle there and had all the stats to back it up. Yeah, we are not ripping David Montgomery at all. The guy breaks every tackle he's confronted with. Now he has no O-line. He's not fast, doesn't have breakaway speed, but he's strong and you can't bring him down.
Yeah, I don't think he's an elite back, but I certainly don't. I don't put the majority of the offensive, the running struggles on him.
Did you see this today? I retweeted it. Daniel Greenberg tweeted out that Chicago Bears head coach Matt Nagy said that he has had conversations with running back David Montgomery about the run game. Matt says that he has a really close relationship with David, and they sometimes FaceTime each other just to check up. Like, there's been some inference, I believe, too, that they've sat down together that maybe Nagy does think he does too much dancing.
Well, I think that Matt does too much pointing a finger at other people. I mean, honestly. Seriously.
The word salad's got way too much dressing on it lately.
I want him to succeed. Don't get me wrong. I do. But this isn't a glitch. This isn't, I've said this, you know, to the point where everyone's tired of hearing it, but I'll say it one more time. They're not in a rut. They've been 29th. They were 29th in the league in scoring in yards last year. They're 27th or 28th this year. Like, that's where we're at, going back to the 11th week of the 2018 season. 30 games. The last 30 games, this offense is averaging 17.67 points per game. That ain't a rut. That's who you are.
Right.
You know where Matt Nagy would be doing his best coaching job? In a Pro Bowl. Because he could just call crazy plays and do whatever he wants, and he'd have the best players out there. And they would make up for bad calls, and they'd execute all his crazy trick plays.
That's why, Mark, there's like, when people ask me what's the solution, I don't have a good answer. Because the problems are a combination of below-average personnel, for the most part, and a system and a game plan that I very rarely understand what's going on. Like, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but like, I kind of understand few things, and I don't understand when I see a lot of it.
I would have assumed that Matt Nagy would be FaceTiming Cordarrelle Patterson and have a close relationship with him
just before bedtime.
Just hey, buddy, just want to let you know we're going to keep running you. You know, just to piss off Sylvie, I'm going to keep giving you the ball.
I don't think I'm the only one, though, who's pissed off about it.
Can we give him Cole Kmet's FaceTime number as well?
Please.
Can we give that to him?
And give himself his own number because he's the one in charge of getting Cole Kmet on the field? Hey, you want to talk to the guy who could get Cole Kmet more playing time? Dude, that's you. Call yourself. FaceTime yourself. Bob and Rosemont, our buddy, wants to talk about Tony La Russa. What's up, Bobby?
Good afternoon, you guys. I wanted to make the case in favor of the La Russa hiring.
Uh-oh.
You know, despite the fact that he clearly takes his press conference tips from Bill Belichick, I think nonetheless Sox fans should be encouraged. And let me itemize a few points. First of all, it's clear this is not a money grab and it's not a fame grab. La Russa has enough money to be comfortable and he's got all the fame he needs, including being in the Hall of Fame. The question then is whether that was a better hire than A.J. Hinch. And while I acknowledge that Hinch was a viable alternative, I still am, despite his contrition, and he certainly has done a good job in addressing those concerns, I still want to see what he does in a clubhouse that's bereft of the best talent in the American League, as well as an ample supply of trash cans. So before he succeeds in Detroit, let's not necessarily make him La Russa's equal in the dugout. The question then becomes, does La Russa have the mental acuity at his age to still do what's required to be a successful manager in this day and age? I'll say that he spent the past 9 years, while he's not been in the dugout, he's not been in Marco Island playing bridge after 18 holes on the golf course.
That's where I want to be, Bob.
I understand. Me as well. That's a goal we need to all shoot for. But La Russa hasn't availed himself of that. He's been compensated by other teams for exactly the type of mental skills and the type of experience and what he lends to a ball club. And most importantly, he's been criticized for not being willing, apparently, to embrace sabermetrics. Well, he spent the past 3 years working for John Henry, who we may recall was the first owner of any consequence to really first embrace that concept, including hiring Bill James, who basically invented that entire science. He spent the past 3 years with the Red Sox. He's been working with their young players, advising Alex Cora, who was the other alternative to A.J. Hinch. So I really don't see a criticism of his unwillingness to be flexible about embracing sabermetrics, about his ability to work with young ball players. And he's certainly a ruthless enough competitor to understand that if he's coming to a team with a bunch of young players whose skills are going to be maximized by allowing them some degree of freedom, he's not going to constrain them and cause them to be playing more poorly. And he might just bring enough discipline and structure to the White Sox so that when Eloy Jimenez understands the warning track is intended to warn him that there's a wall nearby.
Don't go into the net. Bob, good stuff.
And that's another thing. Let me make one last point. La Russa's value is not going to be what he does in the 162 games before October. It's going to be what he does in the postseason. And what the White Sox found this year is when their ship was sinking at the end of the year, Renteria was at the front of the ship bailing out the water with a funnel. That is not going to be the problem with Tony La Russa. He will be the person to guide them, stabilize that ship, and hopefully get them to where they want to be. Wow. And I think when you look at all of those factors, perhaps you can discount his age and look at the things he brings to the process, and hopefully people will look at him a little more favorably.
Bob, that was
amazing.
Thanks
for the time, guys.
Absolutely. You know, he sounds like Lester Munson, doesn't he?
Bob's a lawyer, yeah. So he's used to like debating and
he always comes loaded.
Facts.
I'll tell you, I agree with everything he said. He makes a great argument being an attorney, but I challenge that with there's a difference between consulting and managing in 2020 and 2021.
Mark, that's what I was going to say. Just, he made a good point for Tony La Russa to be your advisor.
Yes.
That's what he's been doing. Mm-hmm. He's been advising, and he should stay in that role right now at that age and let a guy who's ready to grow with the team grow with the team from the start of this because it's World Series or bust right now. So 312-332-3776. La Russa points, Football Friday points, Bears picks. We'll continue to take your calls with Mark Jean Greco.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Waddle, it's that time on a Friday. It's the Screwball sign-off. We've got $200.
Yeah, I get the Screwball sign-off next to me.
Yeah, a little peanut butter.
It's $200 to Kirkwood right now. 312-332-3776. 3776. Caller 20 gets that $200 courtesy of Screwball. A night with Screwball.
Things get a little nutty, my man.
Yeah.
Bound to get a little nutty. I'm trying to make a wager right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
What, on what?
On Minnesota, Maryland?
I'm going to tease Minnesota and the total.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
This is in college?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's okay. College. Some college ball tonight, brother.
Okay. I didn't know if you were talking Vikings and Packers.
No.
I thought maybe an NFC North.
No.
Tommy's not picking the Bears this week.
No, I'm not. 23-20 Saints. Which is a pretty high score for a game that's going to have some weather issues.
But you Mark, if you're making him pick with the points, he would be picking the Bears.
I am.
Right.
Because the Bears are a four-point dog.
But here's the deal. I wouldn't bet this game with your money.
Right.
I'd stay clearly away from it.
See, my problem is whenever I'm analyzing a Bear game, I always look at the deficiencies of the opponent. And it sometimes tricks me into picking the Bears.
Don't be tricked.
So I won't be tricked. Michael Thomas still out for New Orleans. That's good news. Bad news is no Cody Whitehair.
Allen Robinson downgraded to doubtful.
Khalil Mack still questionable. So, I mean, that old line is a major, major issue.
Yeah,
Your two best guys are out. Yeah.
They stink.
And they stink as it is.
Yeah.
Jim and Wicker, you're on ESPN 1000. Say hi to Mark, Jim.
Hello, Mark. Thanks for taking the call. Before I get into the LaRussa thing, the eye test is something you should really worry about more if it leaves baseball, because you don't take out Snell because he gives up one hit. If a guy's having a lights-out game, a career game, you don't yank him after a hit. That's just stupid. Not a LaRussa. Everywhere he's gone, he's had Dave Duncan as his pitching coach. Mm-hmm. He's never won anything without Dave Duncan. Because as I'm going to channel Yogi Berra here, 50% of baseball is 90% pitching. It starts and ends with pitching. It like to go back to Snell again or Giolito's no hitter. If the guy's having a game of his life, why are you getting yank him after a hit? That just drives me nuts. So without Dave Duncan, who's already said he's not going to be the pitching coach this year, Garusa, who was 5-21 and 5-12. With the White Sox the first time through, is going to be exposed as an average baseball, middle of the road, nobody else can't do any better than him manager, and that's going to be a problem. I don't care if Duncan's still with the White Sox. He's not going to be the pitching coach, and that's where I have a problem with this whole LaRussa thing. It's got nothing to do with his age. I've had season tickets for the Sox and Cubs since 1980. I've seen 6,000 games live. I'm telling you, I'm not in favor of this LaRussa hire. Thanks for listening, guys.
6,000 games. That's incredible.
That's a lot of games.
Well, you see, you know, we're breaking it down to all these specific little managerial moves and questioning this and that. I think age is the number one factor. You see that picture I sent you guys today of me, Warner Saunders, and Chet Kopech posing with the Chicago White Sox of 85.
No, I thought it was the one that you had. There was a device in the dugout that you sent us.
Yes, I sent you that also.
That one was
it was a lift. It was a chair.
Yeah, the Sox are ready for Tony.
I didn't get this Warner Saunders Chet Kopech picture.
I didn't get it either.
There's a picture of a lift in the Sox dugout.
There's another one on Twitter.
To carry Tony up.
There's another one on Twitter. It's an NBC promo that we did way back in 85. We also did one with the Cubs the following year. It's me, Chet, and Warner with Tony La Russa, Julio Cruz, Harold Baines, Tom Pachorek, who's that? Carlton Fisk, Vance Law. It's unbelievable. Kitty.
Both teams in town.
The entire team. You know.
That's on Twitter. We can see that now on Twitter?
Yeah, I forgot who posted it.
Can't you hear his phone dinging every time somebody hits the Twitter machine?
Is it you who posted it?
So that shows you how old Tony is. I'm posing with him in 1985.
Hey, Tony, where can I get this? You seem to go a little crazy here.
I'll send it to you.
Okay, thank you.
Jeez.
All right, so you're picking who again? You're picking the Saints?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm picking the Saints 23-20.
I'm picking them to cover.
Yeah, I'm picking the Bears with the points, but I'm with Waddle. The Saints in a real close game.
I'm just hoping the Saints are uncomfortable. They don't want to be outside. This is the first game they've played outside all year.
Alvin Kamara runs over Danny Trevathan, and there you go.
Okay. Well, it's harder to tackle Alvin Kamara on a fast surface than on a slower surface. That's, you know. So I'm just saying hopefully it will keep the game somewhat close. I hope the Bears win. I don't see it happening.
I hear you.
All right, check out Chicago Cut Steakhouse, LaSalle and the River. David Flom and Maddie Moore are going to roll out the red carpet
David
for you.
David and Maddie will bring the food over to your house.
You never know.
You never know.
Those guys are absolutely awesome. Thanks to A.J. Przinski, John Lester.
Our guys.
Kyle Long.
Our guys.
Doug Kazarian.
Our guys.
And Mark Gene Greco.
It's our guys. This Speaking is our guy that, Friday.
You think we could talk La Russa into hiring A.J. to be his bench coach?
We asked A.J. if he'd want that job. He said
wanted
he would
to know
listen.
How that happens. Do you call them or do they call you?
See, A.J. doesn't want to be a coach. He wants to be the manager.
He does, but he said he'd listen to being the bench coach. We asked him that directly. Got to podcast that interview, Mark.
Yeah, come on.
Black and Abdallah coming up next.
Yeah. I got nothing else to do.
The Odds Couple at 7 o'clock. For Marky and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great weekend and go Bears.
It's the classic.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.